Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Modern Dating Podcast, your guide to navigating dating apps and making real-life connections. In this season, I break down killer profiles, spot red flags, and share tips for sparking conversations that truly lead somewhere. Whether you're new to the dating scene or just looking for fresh insights, it's time to swipe smart, date better, and find your perfect match. Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Modern Dating Podcast. And I am very excited to introduce tonight's guests. I have a married couple, Jason and Tina Marie, join me. And Jason and Tina not only have a podcast of their own called Loving Beyond the I Do, and they have a book out now called Manifest a Joy-Filled Relationship. I always stumble on the beginning there, but you'll clear it up.
That's welcome, okay.
Welcome, Jason and Tina.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So let's get into, I guess, let's talk about your story. How did you meet? How did you get to where you are today? So you just told me off camera that you were married 33, that you are married 33 years. This is your first marriage, Jason. You want to tell us just a little bit about how that went?
Oh, how we met each other? Sure. Now, this is an event here. So a college friend of mine had met someone
at a party.
And then the next weekend, he was going to see her at her house. Right. And he said that he was going and she had a friend over there. But then he told me, the girl said, my friend won't like your friend, because she met me at the party. So I said, oh, she won't? Oh, okay, I'm coming, man. I said, yeah, I'm gonna go with you over there, all right? So I walk in with attitude, because I know that her friend don't like me, right? So I got a big chip on my shoulder. So we walk in. I didn't know that my friend was supposed to take this girl to the show earlier that day, to the movie. Earlier that day, we had gone to the movies. To the movie that they were supposed to go to. So it was a misunderstanding in the room. And I'm coming in a little hot, right? Because I'm coming in like, since you don't like me, I got nothing to hold back on, right? So I'm just going to let it rip. So until I met her. But then I had to kind of hold up. So anyway, it was a bunch of accusations and smart remarks and things flying around. So I grew up with three sisters.
Me too.
And so I knew how to do a lot of things, and treating a woman was one of the things that I was good at, right?
Yep.
So she was painting her fingernails. Obviously, she was bored with the conversation. So I kneeled down, and I said, hey, you want me to, paint your nails? And she goes, you know how? I was like, yeah. So I got down on one knee, and I started painting her nails. And my friend was like, Jason, dude, what are you doing, man? Come on, you're embarrassing me. Like, man, I'm good at this. I mean, this is what I can do. So I looked into her eyes and I said, man, you got some beautiful eyes, right? It's like, I've never said that. I'm like, man,
classic
I was like,
line, right?
It was classic. It was. Hey, I ended up with the girl, so it worked. Okay. So I said that, and then we just started talking. But here's the thing. I started talking about my ex-girlfriend that I just broke up with.
Well, that was actually that, the greatest.
No, yeah, no.
That was actually the greatest thing he could have done, because.
Really?
Yeah, because he was literally hurt. And so I think it was just a natural instinct when you feel comfortable with someone that you're able to open
to
up and share.
Yeah,
exactly. So he wasn't he even though he may have had initial, about me initially, his that you may have liked me.
Yeah.
Because when we started talking, it was so natural that he was able to just open up and share. And so I didn't feel as though he was trying to impress me or trying to convince me or get me.
Right.
It was more of a sharing moment.
And he was genuine.
He was genuine. I was. Absolutely. Yeah. It wasn't, I'm looking for a sympathetic ear. I'm trying to get your,
pissed off about the breakup.
Right.
So, and you know how you start talking about it and those emotions start to come back and you just start telling it with that same type of emotion that hurt.
I know it very well. Yeah. Let me.
Exactly.
And let me ask you, how far back was the breakup when you met Tina?
All right. So I met Tina in November and it was probably in June of that year.
So 5 months maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Okay. You're always going to have that critic saying too soon or rebound, you know, but 5 months, I think. How long were you with that woman?
Yeah, we were engaged 2 or 3 years.
You were engaged.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I was engaged, but I was, 18?
I didn't know what I was.
19, okay, maybe. People engaged at 18, that doesn't count.
It was like a friendship ring, but I'm promising you, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
But we didn't start dating right away.
So here's the thing, Andrew. She put me, all right, once we started
talking
and getting to know each other, because Tina was on her way off to college. And I didn't want to interfere with that. So I'm like, we could be friends, right? That's the safe place to be, right? I could be friends, that way I could still hang around. I got stuck in this friend zone for like, I don't know what.
2 years.
Two, 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you know, I had to renege because I said I didn't want a girlfriend. I wasn't interested in her at the time. So I said I was good with that. Then I wanted to change our relationship. So I wanted to come out of the friend zones. So now I have to go in and say, I know I said this, but now I want you, you know, as a girlfriend, I want us to start dating.
And so when we're talking about dating, right? So your podcast is about the dating culture. I think the difference now is that when we initially meet someone, we have false pretenses. We're either looking for a one-night stand, or we're looking for too much too soon, or we're judging them from past relationships.
Yes.
And so we're like, okay, let me see how many of the boxes does she check for me, mm-hmm. but how many boxes does this person check for someone I don't want? So we're immediately looking for the negatives instead of the positives.
And your guard is up.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's one thing about the culture. And
the second thing is you don't show up as your authentic self.
Absolutely.
You show up as a version of yourself. So even if you get into the relationship, it never works because you never show up. Halfway or sometime within the relationship, you show up as you and then be like, this is not the person I'm at.
Who are you?
Right. I don't want to. And then the relationship falls apart.
Or we're afraid to show who we are. So we show up someone else because our past relationships have told us, well, you're to this, you're to that, you're not enough of this. So we try to put on this mask of who society thinks we should be.
Should be.
And we try to wear it and we can't wear it. And so we're starting a relationship off wrong. So we're automatically on the wrong foot. And then we end up losing ourselves because we're trying to put up a front for someone that we think we need to be instead of just being ourselves. And I think that's the major thing. We're looking at so many different outside interferences that tell us who we should be instead of just listening to who we are on the inside.
I heard the other day, it probably was on another podcast, somebody was talking about what is the secret to a good relationship or beginning. And they said that everybody will tell you communication. You got to have good communication and honesty. And he said, no, it's authenticity. You have to be authentic. So I've heard that. That is floating around, that concept. And I agree. If you show up on a date, or if you're dating with somebody, I don't know, a month or 2 months, and you're not who you really are, and then you know the expression, they finally showed their true colors.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly.
And then you show up, and then the relationship tanks, and you go, "What? Well, I was just being myself." I mean,
right, true. So, we just have to, when we're talking about the dating culture, it's, I think, another thing that's going on in the dating culture is that people are not giving themselves enough time to really know who they are. Who am I? And what do I really want? Not what society says I want, but what makes me happy? And how do I find that in the person? It's not how they look. It's not how they dance. It's not how much money they have. But what makes me feel good when I'm around this person, and how do they nurture that feeling that we get together? So we have to be honest as to who we are and what we really want in a relationship.
I couldn't agree more. And I really don't like referring to the old relationship, but this is what the podcast was built on. I showed up authentic and she showed up
inauthentic.
And over the course of several months, she started to show her colors, but she was, this is my bad. She was absolutely stunningly beautiful. She was a Latina. She was a Miss Universe contestant from her country. So all I saw was beauty. And so I did anything. I bent over backwards so I would. So when I saw the red flags, when I saw the true colors, when I saw anything that deviated from what my logical brain or rationale said, this is wrong, or it doesn't work this way, or you're being gaslit, I allowed myself to just say, yeah, but look right. How beautiful she is, you know? So
that's a great point. How we step over red flags.
Right.
Oh.
Even the neon
trampled
ones.
Them.
Right?
Because we don't want to be alone.
No.
Right? It's just like,
we don't want the red flags to be real.
Right.
We get caught up in the illusion.
That's true. Some of the things that I found out that she may or may not be involved in, now I'm going 6 months to a year in, I got some hints and some things like cheating, infidelity. I didn't want to believe because that phrase, you know, your words speak louder than your actions. So she would always come over here and make me feel like I was the only one and I was so special. But where was she Friday night when I couldn't get a hold of her? And we had a date for next Saturday, and all of a sudden, I get a call. I can't make it tonight, and you know, and that happens in relationship. But
right.
This was frequent, and don't. Well, I'm not even going to get into the sexual aspect. There were times she came over here, and on the weekends were our intimate times, and there were times when she would just say to me, "We can't have intercourse today," and being a gentleman and never pressuring a woman, I would say, okay, but this went on. And after a while I found out, well, that's because she saw the other boyfriend the night before, and she was literally sore down there. And she, you know, so, but I put up with it, you know,
right.
So, but anyway, we're getting way off track. My audience knows my story. So, all right. So you guys dated, and when did you ask her to marry you?
Once he got out of the friend zone.
I had to get out of the friend zone first.
Oh, that's right. You're still in the friend zone. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And then we dated for 2 years.
Yes. But at that point, once I got into the dating zone, I knew. I said, you know what? You're not going to find another guy like me. I mean, like, I already knew that I was top of the heat, right? I come in, I'm a perfect gentleman because my father taught me how to be a perfect gentleman. My sisters taught me how to treat a lady. So my game was tight as far as that was concerned. And I genuinely cared about and I loved Tina. So it wasn't, I didn't have to put on a front. I didn't have to pretend to like her. Our relationship was just smooth. I can talk to her about anything. So that went on for like 2 years.
And I think the 2 years of being friends gave us a good foundation.
A good foundation, yeah.
I
have no problem with that because I was with somebody not too long ago on a date, and we hit it off in a way that we enjoyed each other's company. But at the end of the date, she said, "I see us as friends," and it turned out to be okay because she lived in another state. But I play pickleball. She plays pickleball, and she's going to come to town every once in a while. We're going to play pickleball, so I may have a new friend. And that's okay. Something will develop. Maybe something. I don't know. But when I'm put into the friend zone, I'm generally checking off, like saying, I'm not expecting anything.
Right.
Is what I'm
right,
saying.
Right.
So if
I
it
take
happens,
it a step further.
Yeah. So so what was that turning point for you where you were in the friend zone and then you said, I want more? Something must have, a switch went off.
You know, it's been 35, 36 years.
Yeah.
See if you can remember back that
far. Wow. You know,
okay.
you know how you know that you have the right person? And I don't want her to be with anyone else because everything was easy with her. Going out, she understood my work situation because I was young, didn't have much money. But we enjoyed each other's time. We walked on the beach, we picnicked, we just did a lot of things. And that's what I wanted in my life. I didn't want to be fake. I didn't want to have to go out and try to date and pretend and do all this other stuff. I just wanted to be me.
Did you date while you were in the friend zone with her?
I think so.
It was one incident.
The question was, did you date?
I won't call it a date. Yeah, well, me and a young lady went out once.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe at that time we saw other people, but it was more on just a friendship level.
Right.
I mean, we.
I wasn't dating anyone. Yeah.
Do you think both of you knew in the back of your minds, like maybe a year into the friendship, that you were really knew that you belonged together, but you just weren't ready to commit yet?
I did.
No, I didn't. No, he was in the friend zone.
Right. I'm telling you, I was deep in that friend zone.
Yeah, and it took me a while to actually switch to see him not a friend.
Yeah.
So what's your backstory, Tina? Were you married before or you?
Oh, no. I've never been married. This is my first marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was off.
You guys met early, like in your 20s?
Yeah, very early. Yeah, right. We met early in life. So I was on my way off to college and I didn't want to. I had heard, you know, the horror stories of having a boyfriend back at home and trying to live life on the college campus. So I didn't want that. I didn't want to have the stress, but nor did I want to lie. So I wanted my freedom. The whole point of going off to college is to be free, right? So if you're going to be free from your parents, you don't want to not have to be, you know, lie to someone else who is your same age. So I wanted to have no connections and no attachments. So that's why I said we met each other. And that's what I meant. But that first evening, we were able to actually talk. And so I didn't feel as though he was pursuing me.
Right.
I think he understood that I was on my way off to college. And I understood that he had just gotten out of a relationship where he just needed someone to talk to, someone he can confide in. So I think that was a good stance for us that evening. I wasn't pursuing him. He wasn't pursuing me. And it was understood. I'm going off to college and I don't want anything holding me back here at home.
Yeah, I have a college story. So in high school, I was a senior and I had a high school sweetheart that was 2 years behind me. And I went away to college and I did something similar to, I think you mentioned it or you talked about it, a friendship ring. I gave her a friendship ring, kind of insinuating that, you know, I'm going off to college and I don't remember if I said this is like a commitment ring. And she's a friend of mine today. We do stay in touch. So, and she, I think she listens to this podcast sometimes. But when I got to college, just like you said, I was free. And I had lived somewhat of a sheltered life because I grew up in a conservative family, a religious background. And anyway, my parents kept me on a leash. When I got to college, the gates of hell opened up. And that's where I began my drug journey, and that's where I began my alcohol journey, and that's where I began my journey with women. And you know, I like Jason, you said something earlier about how confident you were. Mm-hmm. I was very confident. When I was younger, I was told I don't know if you guys remember Jackson Brown. I was told that I looked like Jackson Brown. And a couple of other rock stars. So I walked around. I had earrings. I had long hair, which I still have. But anyway, I had no problem getting women. And unfortunately, I broke this woman's heart back home who was still in high school. And anyway, so that's going off to college, Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see, the feeling that you felt because you were at college doing what you wanted to do. And whenever she called, you were like, oh, I was here. Oh, I was there. So you had to lie. And so now that means that you're not being authentic. Yep. And so I think honesty, you know, being honest up front as to what we were looking for, I think that was the basis of a good friendship and a good relationship later.
Yes, it was.
And back then, there were no emails. There were no cell phones. There were no text messages. No. So she would write me letters to college and, you know, whatever.
Right.
I was down in Maryland and she was up in New York. So it could take 3 to 5 days before I got my mail. And when you send mail to a campus, it goes to a post office. It goes to whatever. So it could be a week. And I just remember like, oh, there's a party, a cake party this weekend. And I know the whole story, but I became one of the drug dealers on campus, which I don't know how that happened because I was a Catholic, a Roman Catholic boy growing up in a very high class white neighborhood and my parents were affluent. I don't know how I ended up there becoming I'll say it, Mount St. Mary's College in Emmitsburg. I became the dope dealer on at least in my, what do they call them? Dormitories.
Okay.
Anyway, I when I got to these cake parties, you're popping. Back then, we used to pop Christmas trees or Black Beauties, they called them. And when you're doing drugs and alcohol, all of your standards, your
absolute inhibitions and things like that,
out the window.
Absolutely. Yep.
And knowing that I had a girlfriend back at home who adored me. But here's this woman hanging off me, dragging me into her dorm room, and you know, young, stupid, dumb, would have, could have, should have. So, all right.
But that's what life is supposed to be like on a college campus,
I agree.
Yeah. So the smarter thing to do would have been like, hey, I'm going off to college. You know, let's.
Let's break up for a minute.
That's good hindsight.
But right.
I had no clue. This is my first time like living away from home, and I couldn't wait to get away because I'm like, I'm free. I don't have that parental, you know.
Exactly.
All that stuff. And you literally, that's why I say the gates of hell opened. I literally just let go. When I got there, and I thought I'd meet a nice bunch of guys from the South, because Maryland is kind of like on the Mason-Dixon line. And it turned, ironically, and I think God plays funny jokes, my roommate turned out to be from Yonkers, New York, which is like it's like up north of the Bronx.
Yeah.
And his first thing he said to me was, we're hitching to Gettysburg to go buy a bong. And I said, what is a bong? Because I didn't party in high school. I think once or twice I took a hit off a joint, but a bong, and we hitchhiked to Gettysburg. We came back with all this paraphernalia, and that's how I got into it. And anyway, so
the story begins.
Yeah, story began.
Right.
And story began and ended 40 years later with me with a podcast. So So you dated and 2 years, you said, and then you asked her to marry you. And now take us from there. So you guys, when did you start the podcast? When did you start the coaching business?
Oh, well, we started a family. So we were married. The two must be our lucky number. I think 2 years later, we ended up having our first child. So we have three. They're all grown. They all played sports. So most of our
young adult family life was spent in the bleachers.
and that's really the relationship story, because even though with careers and jobs, and then we started our own business, we were able to be present parents. And so we always had a good relationship. So we were always asked relationship questions, even early on in our marriage. And so it just like throughout the years. You know, hey, let me ask you guys a question. We have this issue, and you know, we never solicited it. Just people just always came
always
up to us.
Always ask about our relationship and how we interact.
How did you do this? And you know, me and my husband can't do this. And as a matter of fact, it was a couple we just knew from baseball. And one night, 9 o'clock at night, they called us and they were like, "Can we come over?" And we're like,
"Okay."
Like, you know, we're sleeping. The kids are sleeping. They come over and they were having marital issues. And so we, you know, we talked with them, but it was nothing that, I guess it was just God, as you say, God has a funny joke, because if I had a choice, I don't know. relationships wouldn't have been what I would have chosen. That wasn't my first career.
Well, but you had something that is not common today, a good marriage and a sustaining marriage and a lasting marriage and a happy family and careers. And so you had on the outside. So I think us as a society or human nature is we want what they have because I don't have that. So, you know, if my neighbor buys, I'm just going to throw a car, a Tesla.
Right.
You
mm-hmm.
know, I want the Tesla now. Or if I see that they're very happy. I watch TV sometimes, and this is really opening up. When I see a couple kiss on TV, I roll my eyes because I see what I know TV's
right.
fake and acting
right.
and all that, but I think I'm jealous.
Right.
It might be.
But you make a good point.
Yeah.
We want what other people seem as though they have, but we're not willing to put in the work that they've put in to acquire it. And so that's one thing that we really stress to people. We're not without our faults.
Right.
We're not without our troubles and challenges. It's not that they won't come. It's how do you work through them? And okay. So are you willing to, do you want to play the blame game? It's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. Or are you willing to look at yourself and make the changes that are necessary for you to have the type of relationship that you want, that you covet?
Okay. I think this is a perfect segue to ease into your podcast and into your book. So you just said the magic words. You're not perfect. So on the outside, you have the white picket fence and you had, did you have a dog?
No.
No,
well, we had it for a second.
Jason doesn't like dogs. So
okay. But I got to the point where I didn't want to take care of another. I was paying for enough. I had three kids.
I don't blame you. I had a parrot and the parrot was more a burden to me than my kids. Not that the kids were a burden, but
we traveled a lot. So that, you know, it was hard to travel with animals.
Yeah, it's tough. But so you had a nice marriage and jobs and you put your boys through college. Was it all boys, right? You
said no, two boys and a girl.
Two boys and a girl. But you did say we weren't perfect. So how do you resolve that conflict? And I know that's a very vague general question. But
no, not
that's
really.
That's a very good question.
That's a very good question. But here's what we did. Well, we went out looking for knowledge. We were part of our church's married couples group, right? We were the youngest couple there, right? But we were there and we were learning. So we were seeking knowledge, right? Because we knew between the both of us, we didn't have enough knowledge we didn't know enough about marriage to make it, right? We were just doing this thing day by day and showing up. But we needed to learn how to deal with each other when it comes to arguments, disagreements, and money and raising kids, because I had my way how I wanted to raise my boys, and she had her way that she wanted to. I'm like, no, my boys need to be tough. They don't need to be so in tune with their emotions. So all of those different things. So as we read books, went to seminars, workshops, was around married couples.
Successful married couples.
And looked at leadership and all the other stuff. That's what's the difference. We went out to get the knowledge because we didn't have all the answers on how to be married.
So you surrounded yourself with like-minded people.
Absolutely.
Marriages. Okay.
Right.
And we sought after, we knew that our knowledge was limited. Now, there may have been areas that we thought we knew everything, but mm-hmm. we knew that wasn't one of them. And the thing is that we were smart enough to know that if a issue can't be resolved, then there's something wrong. Either I don't have enough information or knowledge or you don't. So let's see, you know, let's read books to find out what's going on. Let's go to a seminar. Let's go to a workshop. Let's, you know, seeking knowledge. And sometimes you didn't even realize that it was something that you needed. You just knew that there was, you know, you needed to know more. It's sort of like in our podcast, we talk about relationships, unfortunately, is that one area that we do not seek knowledge in. You know, when we grow up, we're taught to, you know, go to school. If you want to get paid more, go back to school. If you want to, you know, we're always taught to get knowledge in other areas except for relationships. And really, we need to do the same thing. we need to expand our limited information, because what we do is we gather the information. Sometimes if we surround ourselves with the wrong people, then we're getting the wrong information. And so now we're duplicating what's around us, which really doesn't work for us. So it's just, it's really being able to obtain the knowledge from places other than your environment.
Right.
You remind me of my parents, because they were married until death did them part.
And okay.
So I think way over 50. Let's say 50 years. And my mom passed first, then my dad. But they did something similar. And they were very religious. And they would go on these marriage retreats. And back then, it had a name. I think it was, might have been marriage counseling, but it was by the church. And grandma would come over for the weekend. I'm like, where's mom and dad? And well, they're off, you know. But they were doing what you guys did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we also related to a car, right? Your car needs maintenance.
Yes.
You can't just buy a car brand new and think that you're going to run it without refilling the tank, getting your oil changed, rotating the tires. Like, everything needs maintenance. Your relationship is no different. If you don't put in the care and the work and, you know, renew the vivaciousness in it, you know, everything requires you to do some type of work. And people don't realize that.
Yeah.
You have to put in the maintenance, which means you have to make sure you're staying connected. You have to make sure that your love is staying alive. Through the challenges, you have to make sure that you're taking those retreats or those mini breaks to just, you know, release the stresses of being a parent, of being a mother, being a father, being a worker, being an entrepreneur, whatever it is, and just connect as people. So you have to put that time and maintenance into your relationship. You need to tune up every now and again.
I have heard, not only in my personal circle, but on other podcasts and just in life general, that they used to call it the 7-year itch, where mm-hmm. after about 7 years of marriage, that's when things start to fall apart, and or when the children. So if you have two to four children and mom is, whether mom's home, a home wife, or she's working, there's this, at the end of the day, the kids go to bed, mom and dad are exhausted.
Yep.
Right. And so dad may want to go, I don't know, watch his favorite TV show or go catch a baseball game. And mom may want a back rub or a bubble bath, but the two never seem to like help, you know, come together.
They can't come together because actually they are so disconnected at this point, right?
Because life,
they're stuck in a routine. The kids first.
Yeah, you're trying to catch up with life. Yeah.
It's the kids, and then they need some individual time. And then you look up, it's 18 years later, and you turn around, the kids go off to college, and you look at the person next to you, be like, who are you? I don't even like you. I'm out of here.
And the divorce rate is super high on empty nesters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now you're faced with, there's no other distractions. It's just you two. And you're staring at them. You're like, I don't even like you anymore. I don't even know who you are.
And that's so true. That's so true, because you spend those 18 years trying to be the best parent you can be. And everything you have is invested in your kids. You're not doing the personal work for yourself. So you don't really even know who you are anymore. And you definitely don't know your partner. And we have so many couples that do that, whereas you're supposed to celebrate the nest, you know, empty nest years, and people dread it. They're with strangers.
So what advice or counseling, or how do you help couples like that?
Rediscover the person that you are now, because the person you were a year ago, you're not the same person. And definitely the person you married, if it's 5, 10, 15, 18 years later, you're not the same person. The experiences that you have experienced made you someone different, including the experiences that you've had with your spouse. So now this is a perfect opportunity to rediscover who you are together and fall back in love. Fall in love with the person you are now.
Like, court your wife all over again.
All over again.
Start dating.
Right, because they're different now. Everyone's different. Your relationship has evolved. You can look at it as, oh, it's the same. I know my wife. No, you don't.
No.
Right? My wife changes her favorite color so often.
You have to keep up.
I'm going to tell you this quick story. So we were traveling a lot, right? So I'm real simple. If I want a candy bar, I'm going to get a Kit Kat or a Twix.
Oh, right? Kit Kats are the best. Yeah. Okay.
I know, right? That's what I grew up on.
You get a sponsorship from Kit Kat? No.
Go ahead. I know, right? I need to hit them up. So I said, I know my wife likes Reese's, right? So I get her a Reese's cup. So we stop for gas. I get a Kit Kat and I get her a Reese's.
She gets a Reese's.
Right. I know this. So after a couple of fill-ups, she goes, I don't want a Reese's cup. I'm like, well, why not? It's your favorite. She said, yeah, it was, but I want something different now. I'm like, I can't keep up with that. I'm like, I don't know what you want. She says, now, I go, do you want a Reese's cup when I go to stop to get gas? She goes, surprise me. Oh, boy.
Oh, really?
So here it is. Now they got various different, you know,
Reese's cups.
So I bring a different variation. I don't bring her a cup. I may bring her the pieces tea. Or something. Oh, right. Yeah.
Reese's pieces.
She said, no more Reese's. Try something else.
Tina. Let me ask you a question. So he goes in and gets his Kit Kat, because I'm guessing that never changed, right?
That never changes.
Okay. He is now at the candy section, and he's got a, because I don't really eat candy, but I do go to stores. And
I don't
I see,
really eat candy either.
All right. But okay. But
yes.
But I can't come back empty handed.
You can't come back empty handed. Right. So whatever he picks, Skittles, Snickers, whatever, would you... This is probably not a fair question. Would you say thank you or, I hate Snickers.
I just say thank you. And then, okay. And then I roll my eyes. and I go, he doesn't have a clue.
But
you know what? I can't hold it against him because I don't know how I feel. I'm not a candy person. I'm not a sweets person. I'm more of a salt person. So then if I tell him what type of chips I want, then guess what he does?
I'm going to get that chip every single time I go in the store.
But I like variations.
And I don't understand that.
But see, now you brought up the thought about women training their men. So so you had him trained for a while, but right. Then...
No, I think that was just him. See,
I was on automatic.
What happens is that we put our own personality into what we want to do for our mate. So because he likes the same thing, which is, I guess, a good thing because he still likes me. Mm-hmm. So I guess because he likes a certain thing, he's going to get that thing every single time.
Yep.
Whereas with me, I like variations. I want a palette. I want to explore. So bring me back something, which means that now he has to take the initiative to actually think, you know, what have I seen her eat? What would she like? What has she had before? What is something that maybe looks interesting? And I'm just gonna let her. I'm gonna let her be my Mikey. Hey, Mikey, try it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know.
But see, and here's the thing, that could create a problem, right? Buy something for you that you like. I come back and give it to you. Now you're upset. Now we're going down the road, and now we have an issue.
Well, that's why I asked her. How does she respond to what you bring back? Have you ever thought, and there's a reason I'm asking this question, of coming back with maybe, because a lot of these gas stations and, I don't know, convenience stores, wherever you stop, they all have little flowers now, like flower section. You ever thought about flowers? Tina, I don't know you. So a lot of women don't like flowers, I'm finding out.
That's a funny story, too.
Yeah. So I was big on flowers. That was my thing, right?
Me, too.
So I brought some flowers, and this was early on in our marriage. And
this is probably like 5-6 years into our marriage.
Right. So, and I dated her. I bought her flowers just because. My card always says just because. Because there was no special reason. I just thought, I went by the store or something. I passed a guy, and I brought some flowers. So I came into the house one day, and I gave her some flowers. And she goes, you know, Jason, you could say that, and you could just pay that on a bill or something. I said, okay.
You don't always... I always have to buy flowers. Like, flowers are a waste of money. This is what I said. Flowers are a waste of money.
So for the next 20 years.
Well, at that time, we had a home. We had two cars. We had two kids. His mother was staying with us. So, you know, hey, you know, let's, like, I know it's sentimental, but really, at the end of the day, flowers die.
So I kept that for like 20 years.
20 years. So one day I said, you know, I didn't say I didn't like flowers.
Right.
I just said you didn't have to buy them all the time.
Yeah.
So it's, you know.
You can get To me, it's the thought that counts, that he came out of the store. Well, you guys you had that routine already established that he's going in to get, he's going to pay the gas, get a Kit Kat, and he's got to come out with something. But
right.
I brought flowers. So my girlfriend, that last one that lived, she lived for another reason. I couldn't go there often. I was there sometimes, but she'd come down every weekend and spend the weekend here. And every weekend, Saturday mornings, I went grocery shopping. And she was from a different culture, so I knew what kind of food to buy. But I always bought flowers. And for the first, so every Saturday morning, she was greeted with a bouquet of flowers. And you're right. They are expensive and they die. But in the beginning, it put a smile on her face. And she'd literally drop her pocketbook and go right over to the sink and fill up the vase and cut off the ends. And I'd watch her do that. And it made me happy because it made her happy.
Right.
Until one day she walked in and I gave her the flowers and she just threw them on the counter. And I said, oh boy, I guess we're getting tired of the flowers. Like, you know, and so I had to come up with something else
But you see, the thing was you had to come because you're thinking, is it just a routine or is it you're really thinking of me?
Right.
Right. So if you, and so sometimes people may say, well, you're thinking too much into it, but in a relationship, that's what you're supposed to do. So his initial, I'm going to grab me a Kit Kat is because he wants a Kit Kat,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to get back in the car without something for her. And I don't think that if we could be honest, that's not love. That's just commitment. If I get in the car and I don't have anything for her, she's going to say, where's mine? Right. So, but for a woman, it's the thinking behind it. Hey, I saw this and I remember that you like them. So I got this for you. So it's not the always, it's the sometimes. Because then it can become routine and monotonous. Mm. And so now you're like, you're just stuck on automatic pilot. You're not really thinking of me.
It becomes a monotonous routine.
Yeah, right.
And I saw that eventually. And I think I stopped buying flowers. Well, I might have cut it down to once a month. I don't remember exactly
right.
what
Making
I did.
Making it special, right?
Yeah.
I think it's more appreciative because even though it was, I want to do something that makes her happy for different people. And I don't want to say just women, but for different people, it's the thought behind who am I dating or who am I married to and what do they like? And when I get an idea, I want to show them how much I care about them by doing something different, not always the same thing.
Right.
Because then the person may think that you're just doing it one out of obligation or it's routine, like you're not putting any thought into it. So we, you know, it's a fine line. Relationships are tricky that way, right?
Oh, yeah. and this relationship was 2.5 years. We're not talking about a 30-year marriage. So I learned quickly that wasn't going to work. Let's talk about your book. You have a book out called Manifest a Joy-Filled Relationship. What's in the book?
Well, the full title is Manifest a Joy-Filled Relationship Using Universal Laws to create Your Desired Relationship. So we all have a desire for the type of relationship we want. So that's the full name. You can talk about it if you want to.
So what we did was we married universal law to relationships. So everyone knows about the law of attraction. We use it to try to attract a mate or something or job or money. But there are other laws. So we took 12 of those laws and related them to relationships, like the law of oneness, the law of gender, the law of vibration, the law of inspired action. All these laws are related to relationships.
So what we get, it's like anything when we're talking about our culture, right? So when Jason said the law of attraction, we want people look at it as, oh, I'm going to attract the perfect mate. I'm going to attract the perfect woman or the perfect man. Why not use these laws to keep the one that you have? How can I apply the law of attraction? And what does it really mean?
Mm-hmm.
The law of attraction is the false pretense is that it means you're going to attract what you want.
Nope.
Right? You attract who you are.
Yep.
So when you say, well, this is not what I wanted, I don't care how much you're begging and pleading. We attract who we are, not what we want. If I want a mate that's loving, I have to be loving. And so if I want a mate that's considerate, I have to be considerate. I can't get something unlike myself. You know, people say opposites attract, but that's in a certain, when we're talking about, yeah. And so it's a, when we're talking about the universal laws, it's all scientific, but it's how do we apply these laws are there, whether we realize them or not. The law of gravity is the law of gravity. If you don't believe in the law of gravity, go to the top of your house and jump off and say, I don't believe it.
And see what happens.
Right. So what we're trying to get people to understand is that these laws are there. They govern the universe. Why not use them in our relationships?
Can you, I heard this not too long ago. Can you manifest the person that you want? Somebody, again, I listen to a lot of podcasts. That's how I got into podcasting. I listened to many of them because in my relationships, I was failing. So I figured I'm not one to read a lot. So I listened to podcasts. Can you, so you're talking about you can attract somebody based on your universe. I don't know how to word this question. I was told that you can manifest the ideal person. So actually sit down on and write a piece of paper what you're looking for. Everything from their appearance all the way down to their spirituality. And read off of that or go out every morning, read that, something like that. And you can attract it. Do you understand where I'm going?
Your question is, you can answer that. You can manifest that person into your life, but they won't stay.
Nope.
You know why they won't stay? Because
you're not it.
You're not equivalent.
Right.
So you can, it's like anything. It's sort of like you can manifest the perfect job. I want a job that's paying me $200,000 and I can set my own schedule and I can travel. You can manifest it, but you won't be able to keep it. Because the law is the law. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. You have to be what you're seeking. So I can put down all of these characteristics. The person can show up, but I am none of those characteristics. Only thing that's going to attract to me is what I send out. I can say one thing, but what my energy is this. If I say I want a loving wife and caring and do all this other stuff, if they show up, I would just say me, I'm sending out chaos and confusion and all this other stuff. That's what I am going to initially attract. That's what's going to show up to me and make sense to me. Not what I put on a piece of paper, not what I constantly said, but actually what I am and what I am generating.
So really the book is about, so what you just said, right? Manifesting what you want in a relationship, right? You said, can you manifest this? So if I could go back to when you said you took a year or 2 years to get comfortable with the person you were in your skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's important because you have to know who you are and you have to be honest and change the things about yourself to get the type of relationship that you want. That's the key to any life. I have to be comfortable with who I am and be willing to change the ugly parts of myself so that I can have a joyous, happy relationship. Because no one can make, if I'm not filled up, if I don't love myself, I don't even know what love looks like. Right?
Well, yeah. And I didn't love, in the last relationship, I didn't love myself because halfway through I knew she was cheating on me and I should have left right then and there.
If you could look back on your past relationships, you can see a lot more things that you should have seen then, right? Or even the fact, as you said, right, being an alcoholic or a recovering alcoholic, all of the things that were going on, you can understand why that person didn't stay, right? Because you guys didn't have what was in common with each other. And then if you guys were drinking together and then you said, oh, I was in a terrible relationship because we couldn't help each other.
There was a lot of that. I don't know if you remember the movie, the Days of Wine and Roses, where a couple were alcoholic together. But no, I had one or two women that were my drinking buddies. But now that I'm sober and I still lack confidence. I lack self-respect. I lack self-integrity because I allowed women to walk all over me.
And this is all during the sobriety. And when I took those 2 years off, I had to build that self-confidence back up. I had to be able to look in that mirror every morning, because I tell this story all the time. When I was younger, and even in early sobriety, when I would brush my teeth, I would open the medicine cabinet so I can't see myself, because what I saw, I didn't like.
Okay.
Now I brush my teeth with the mirror and I smile, and I have a couple of Post-its on there, little sayings I want to remind myself, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And I have built such a, I think, a great confidence in myself. I got a little ways to go because I'm a little nervous around single women when I find them attractive, but I think that's normal.
Mm-hmm. But a key point that you said is you have to love the person who's staring back in the mirror at you.
Well,
that's the bottom line.
And that's the person that you're going to attract. I don't care how pretty or unattractive they are, what you ask for, you're only going to attract yourself.
Okay.
So you can manifest anything, but by right of consciousness, you won't keep what's not supposed to be there.
What's not supposed to be there.
Exactly.
And just, we got to wrap it up soon. How do you know? So if I do attract somebody, how do I know if that early on? Because I this is going to sound terrible, but I don't have a lot of time left. And so I'm not looking to date 6 months, 8 months, and then find out she's the wrong person. Is there any telltale sign you can, in the beginning, know?
Yep. It's called your intuition.
Yep.
Ah, I like that.
It's called trust yourself.
And I didn't do that the last couple times.
Don't make excuses for the red flags, and you know that, okay, this is, okay, I could live with this. No, you can't, because if you know that's one of your non-negotiables, it's one of your non-negotiables. Don't negotiate with your non-negotiables. So, right. And when you start doing that, then you end up in relationships that don't last.
And you know what? I think this podcast started off with authenticity. Mm-hmm. Be yourself.
Oh, it did.
Be yourself. Show up as you. Don't try to be anything else. Either they like you or they don't. You cannot start a relationship being someone else. Who? How many years are you going to keep that up? How many years are you going to play charade, right?
Unless you're a narcissist and you're a sociopath.
Right.
And you don't want that type of relationship, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you need to show up as yourself, and you tell the person across from you, you know, first date or getting to know each other, let's just be ourselves and see how it goes. Like at this stage in the game, we have more years behind us than we have ahead of us. The ultimate goal is for everyone wants to be happy.
Mm-hmm,
we were created for companionship. Everyone
Correct.
Wants to be happy, right? And even though I'm not looking for him to make me happy, he adds to my happiness. And that's what you want. You want someone who's going to multiply you.
Thank you. Because for many years, I felt that I wasn't happy or I wasn't whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that part of the heart, I needed another to make
me
whole.
Exactly.
Now I feel whole.
Exactly.
And I want someone to compliment me, not be my second. You know, they always say better half, my other half, whatever. No, I am a whole person today, and I want someone to, I want another whole person.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we forget. So we want another whole person, but we also want someone that may be able to compliment us in the areas that we're willing to be vulnerable, which means that, okay, I know I'm not strong in finances. So it's okay to get someone who may be strong in finances.
Oh, yeah, I truly believe that.
So when you say compliment, we have to be willing to be also open and honest with the, you know, hey, this person is, there's no role. We have to stop letting society define what our relationships are for us.
Because we both have, there's a law, the chapter in our book, chapter 12, the law of gender. We both have feminine and masculine energies.
We do.
Right? So you don't have to worry about, well, you know, this is the woman's job. This is the man's job role in the relationship. None of that. No. If you're good at it, you take the lead in that,
yeah.
Right? I'm good at planting flowers outside, making the outside look good. Tina, on the other hand, can paint a house and do the floors and all that.
Yeah.
So, that's fine, and we're both good. It's not a big deal.
I agree.
Your intuition. It always knows.
I don't believe in gender roles. While I did watch my parents grow raised, but that was back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And they were really doing it based off of society, not based off of themselves. And even though they made the marriage work, if you could talk to your parents now, you may ask them, well, how many years were you happy and how many years were you just settled? You knew you weren't going anywhere.
Oh, well, there must have been, because they know they were going off to these counseling weekends. So they were working on something. So
the key is to be happy with who you are and be happy with the person that you attract, that you want to be in a relationship with. We have to stop trying to change each other.
So now, if you're looking to manifest something as being a whole person, you can attract now that whole person, no matter what they look like. Now, as we're talking to couples have an idea. I want this particular person to look like this and be here and do this. I said, when they show up, you may miss him because he's not or she's not going to look like what you want them to look like.
Yeah.
If he comes with the qualities that you desire truly, then that's who's going to show up.
Yeah, people say, oh, I'm tired of dating. I can't find the right man. You found them, but they walked right on past because you weren't ready.
Yeah.
So we have to understand what these laws really mean. And the laws of the laws of the universe don't change. These laws never change. The law of gravity will never change.
No.
We just have to learn what it means and use it to the best of our ability in our relationships or our lives. Right? Don't jump off
tall buildings.
Yeah.
Expecting to walk.
Exactly.
And to the audience, please don't go to the roof and jump off, because gravity does exist.
Yes, it does.
Jason and Tina, please tell our audience where they can find you, where we can find the book and where the podcast, the book, and any social media you'd like us to know.
Sure. Everything is at Legendary Relationship, and that's without an S, just legendaryrelationship.com. You can get everything there. We have the book, Manifest a Joy-Filled Relationship. You can get the podcast there. It's Loving Beyond the I Do. And we talk about relationship stuff. But, you know, it's hard hitting and it's about you. So if your relationship isn't working, it's probably because of you. So just you have to be able to handle that.
And I can attest to that. So because so it was me.
Yep. You can find everything on our website, www.legendaryrelationship.com.
Okay. And what they just said is absolutely true, because when I took the 2 years off and I look back, even though the last ex was cheating on me, I had a major part in that, and I was the common denominator. So Tina and Jason, thank you so much for joining me. You were inspiring, and what a fantastic love story. And I wish you the best of luck, and maybe we'll have you on again someday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Same.
We had a great time.
Can you keep doing that self-work?
Yes. Always ready to talk relationships.
Oh yeah. I'm working on it. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I would like to thank Jason and Tina Marie so much for stopping by. What a beautiful story and a romantic story. And boy, did I relate to Jason's story about when he had his eyes on Tina in the friend zone. You know, us guys, we get put in the friend zone and we want more, but I got to give it to Jason. He hung in there. Sometimes just patience does pay off. And of course, look where they are today. So kudos to you guys, and thanks for coming on the show. And speaking of the show, I could use some more reviews down below on Apple or Spotify. If that's the platform you're listening on, please take a moment and rate and subscribe. You know, I don't often ask if you're subscribed. Please hit that subscribe button and maybe pass this show along to a friend. There's got to be somebody in your life that's struggling with dating in this modern society. And also in the show notes, there's a link called Buy Me a Cup of Coffee. Folks, I am paying for this out of pocket, and I am not putting sponsors on the show just yet. It's going to come down the road, because I just can't keep funding this out of my own pocket. At some point, I have to retire. And if I retire, I have to have an income. Anyway, if you could buy me a cup of coffee, it would really help offset the cost of the show. So, folks, thanks for tuning in. I really, really appreciate it. Anonymous Andrew saying, until next week, ciao.